Hey, I'm George Corliss.
Hi, folks. I'm Jillian Fenner.
And I'm Teresa Williams of the Wexford Conservation District.
And she's the garden gal.
Yes.
And we're super excited about having her here again this month. And in this segment, folks, we're going to talk about passive solar tunnels. And solar tunnels are basically unheated greenhouses that are made with hoops of wire or pipe, and they're covered in plastic, and they can prolong the harvest season by several months. And it sounds like, Teresa, you've used these.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Okay, so tell us about this.
Well, I want to back up with a story about how I learned how well the sun can heat things. And it was back in the days when I was in a place where I didn't have hot running water. And I had something called a solar shower. And all that is it's a large plastic bag. One side of the bag is black. The other side of the bag is clear, and you laid that out flat on the ground, and when the sun hit it, it heated up the water to 90 degrees quite easily. And it, you know, I didn't add any kind of supplemental anything to it, just laid it out in the sun. And it's that principle of when sunlight passes through something clear like glass or plastic, and then it hits something dark, soil, and in that case I just mentioned the other side of the bag, that dark color absorbs the energy from the sun and heats up what's around it. Now that could be water, that could be air, but that's the principle involved, is sunlight passing through something clear onto something that's dark.
Okay, so where do you pick up these? Do you build them yourself? Can you buy them?
Yeah, most people I know build them themselves. They're really easy to build.
PVC pipe then?
You can use PVC pipe. You can use electrical conduit if you buy a pipe vendor. But it depends. You can also use, if you don't want to have it handle snow for very much at all, well, this won't handle snow, you can just use number 9 wire if you want to use this during the months before we get snow.
Okay. And so about how big are you making these tunnels then?
How big do you want them?
Really?
Really. You can make them as narrow as maybe 2 feet across if you're using the number 9 wire. We've made some with PVC and supports that have been 13 feet across. And then you can get into a big commercial one, and those are often 30 feet across. So it depends on how much money you want to spend and how much you want to grow under it.
Now, what are the types of foods that you're growing underneath this? The idea is it's extending the growing season, or can you grow all winter depending on if you have a light winter or...
You can harvest all winter in these. I hesitate to say grow because once our sunlight gets down below 10 hours a day, even if you add heat, things aren't growing very much. And the whole concept behind this is that you don't need to add any heat. It's a way to prolong your harvest. And this is not going to work for tomatoes very well at all. I mean, you might get an extra month or two, but it's not going to carry tomatoes through January, February. But it can carry some of our hardier crops like kale or spinach well through the winter if you give it enough protection, but without any supplemental heat.
Now, is it something also you could use in the spring to get things off to a good start?
Yeah. One note of thing to pay attention to in the spring is that you also, in addition to air temperature, you need to pay attention to the soil temperature. So if you want to use these in the spring, it's a good idea to set them up a few weeks ahead of time and allow that soil a chance to warm up and then plant your crops.
How warm should the soil be?
It varies by crop, Jillane. So if you're talking peppers, you want your soil above 60 degrees. If you're talking spinach, you know, 40-degree soil is fine. So it does depend a bit on, you know, if it's a tender crop like a pepper, you're going to want warmer conditions. If it's a hardy crop like Swiss chard, spinach, kale, cooler temperature is fine.
They can handle the cooler temperatures.
Yeah. Okay.
So how much would a person, if let's just say they'd like to experiment, how much would a person have invested in something like this? And let's say it's not, you know, too big of an experiment.
Let's say it's a 4 by 16 foot bed. That's for a backyard grower. A lot of times they'll build a bed that size. And let's say you're going to use electrical conduit. Often you can pick up a 10 foot piece in the range of $2. And on a 16-foot bed, you probably would need 5. So if you have a pipe bender, or in our area, the Conservation District actually rents a bender for $5 a day. So let's say you need 5 hoops at 10, so that's $10. You rent our bender for a day, that's another $5. If you're only growing in the winter, you can buy construction plastic because the sunlight is so low, it doesn't put off a lot of UV, and you're not going to get that plastic break apart on you in the winter months. So your plastic might cost you $10. So you're looking at under $30 to do a 4x16-foot bed.
How tall should it be?
Again, that depends on what you want.
You want to grow corn, I think. It would be pretty tall.
Yeah. I don't think too many people grow corn, do they?
And not in the winter. I would think for most people, if they're doing winter harvesting of greens, 3 foot tall is enough, because at 4 feet wide, you don't need to walk into that. You can access it from the sides. So 3 feet tall is enough. But the taller you go, our experience has been, is the warmer that hoop house or tunnel will get. We've built some that have been walk-in ones, and they seem to get warmer, stay warmer, have less fluctuation in temperature than the lower ones.
Really? That's neat. Yeah. Because the taller it is, it's just getting more heat, maybe?
I guess. But, you know, it confounds me a bit, because air doesn't hold heat all that well. So it's kind of a mystery to me as to why it seems to work better, but it does. And then if you add a low tunnel inside of that taller tunnel you can walk in, you get a whole lot more protection from cold, and you can extend the season even more.
Maybe you want to go outside and take a nap.
Well, you know, think about that. Isn't it nice when it's winter and the sun is shining in through the window? If you the carpet, don't you notice how warm it is where the sun is? That's why the dogs and cats like to lay where the sun's shining. Haven't you ever noticed that, George?
No.
No?
Oh. No, ours always lay in front of the stove, so.
Oh, no, but I mean, I walked around barefoot, and that's nice and warm there.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's the same principle. The sunlight's coming through the glass. Yeah. It's hitting the dark, I'm assuming it was a darker carpet, and that same principle happens.
Okay, Teresa, what happens, though, I notice with some of these commercial greenhouses, when it gets kind of warm, we get a warm spell in the winter, they're venting. Do you vent these?
Yes, if you get sunny days and your temperatures are over 50 degrees, then you do need to be concerned about venting. And you can do something as simple as opening up the ends of the tunnel if it's a smaller homeowner size tunnel. Usually just opening up the ends will work. If it's one of the large 30 feet wide tunnels that a commercial grower will use, they need more of a ventilation system. They might have fans. They might have a roof vent. They might have roll-up sides. But you do need to think about ventilation on sunny days.
Folks, if you just tuned in, I'm George Corliss. Jelaine Fenner is here with me in the studios here on South 45 Road here in Cadillac. And we've got the garden gal herself with us, and that would be Teresa Williams. And we're talking about how to make passive solar tunnels work. Now, Teresa, what are some of the different crops that you would suggest that really thrive in this type of a situation?
Spinach does great. Lettuces do great. Any of your root crops, because they're in the soil, are going to do well. Anything in the cabbage family, like kale, broccoli, cabbage, mustard greens, arugula,
arugula, what's that?
It's a salad green that's kind of spicy.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What is it, green?
Green? Usually green. They do have some red varieties, but usually almost always green.
Huh. Have you planted some? I've never heard of it before.
Yeah, and if you go to the store and you buy something called a spring mix, usually arugula is in that.
Okay. And so those are different kinds of lettuces or those greens?
Salad greens,
right.
A couple that your listeners might not be familiar with, because I've never seen them sold in a store. I've only seen them like at a farmer's market or with other people who are growing them. There's something called miner's lettuce or claytonia that's super hardy, and you can harvest that all the way through the winter, even up here. Another one is a green called mosh, which is another... it's a green from Europe, but it's hardy. Not quite as hardy as the miner's lettuce, but still hardy enough that you could probably grow it all through the winter here.
And so they're going to need electrical conduit or PVC pipe to make the hoop. The hoop. And I would think that the PVC pipe just kind of bends by itself depending on how long of a span.
Yeah, it's flexible enough that you can bend it.
Have you used both? Or
I have.
Have you? And which one do you think works better?
If you want to go through the winter and handle a snow load, definitely the electrical conduit.
Okay.
The PVC doesn't handle much of a snow load unless you put some kind of support in the middle of the hoop. Then it will.
Now, are they going to need to solder or do anything like that? Or just stick them in the elbows and stuff?
The PVC pipe, the big box stores all sell it, and they sell the connectors as well. The electrical conduit, you can actually put screws through, and that's what we've done.
Okay. And then what grade plastic are you recommending that they use?
For the PVC, one thing that we've found is that ordinary PVC has some off-gassing that will affect the durability of the plastic covering. So if you go with a CPVC, and the C stands for a coated PVC, that prevents that off-gassing, or you can paint the PVC, and that basically seals it in, and then it doesn't degrade the plastic that's on top of it.
You can paint that?
I never have, but I heard it's possible.
Wow.
I just buy the CPVC. It's easier.
Yeah.
And you can tell that it's usually coated. It's not white. It's more of a cream color, and that's the CPVC.
That is really interesting. Now, Teresa, what kind of seeds? We talked a little bit about that last time, and we've got a couple of minutes left here in this segment before we head on out to our commercial break, but what kind of seeds do you think that people should start looking at in the catalogs, like right now? And they're kind of sitting by the fire looking for something to do, and there's games, or they could play cribbage, or they're reading the paper, getting a little bored. What are some things they could look at as far as seeds? What would you suggest for up here?
Do you mean to plant in the spring?
Correct.
Okay. Well, all seeds. I've noticed I start getting seed catalogs right around Thanksgiving. So All garden seeds are fair game this time of year.
Is that exciting for you? Because
Yeah.
Is there all kinds of new stuff in there?
Yeah, it's like a candy store.
Well, tell us some of the different things that you'll see in some of these seed catalogs besides the seeds. And there's a lot of different kinds of seeds. You have heirloom seeds, right? Mm-hmm. And then what are some of the other are?
Well, there's two broad categories of seeds that you're going to find for gardeners. And one is the heirlooms. And one is the hybrids. Now, the heirlooms are the ones that have been passed down generation to generation. You can collect those seeds, save them on your own, and you can plant them the next year and get the same crop pretty much as what you did. Exception is squash, because they cross-pollinate super easily, and unless you take steps to protect your squash blossoms, it's... anybody's guess what's going to come up from the squash seeds that you save. Yeah. And if you like to use the heirloom traditional varieties, most catalogs will consider that a selling point, and they'll label it. And then there's this organization called Seed Savers Exchange. And that's all they carry is heirloom seeds. And you can become a member of that organization, or you can just get one of their catalogs. And they have dozens and dozens of varieties of heirloom seeds that people are trying to keep going.
Now, in these seed catalogs, is there a lot of toys in there also?
Oh, yeah. Well, depending on the company, that some catalogs really just do seeds, but most of them do. They have things like the floating row cover that I mentioned, and that's part of your prolonging your season and your insect protection. They'll have books. They'll have things to help you manage insects and diseases. They have all kinds of fun things for gardeners.
Tools, thinking the solar things, you know, and they have all kinds of things.
Now, obviously with a garden, you've weeded a lot in your lifetime.
I have.
What's your favorite weeder besides bending over and picking up the weeds or having a young person do it for you?
Yeah.
The hoes that I first started seeing about 15 years ago that have very thin blades that are meant to be used in a way, think of that you're shaving the soil. And they're meant to be used on weeds when they're very tiny.
Are those called hoop hoes?
No, not the ones that I'm thinking of. There's one, if you stand up, there's one called a collinear hoe that fits that description. And if you want more of a short-handled tool, I haven't seen it with a real name that I can say this is the name of the tool, but you're looking for something that has a very thin blade, and it's much easier to weed when those weeds are tiny, and you can do just that shaving motion, and the weeding goes super quick if you get the weeds when they're tiny, and that's the key. Frequent weeding, like weekly weeding in the summer, when they're tiny and you can do it quickly, it's easy, you don't get the blisters, it just makes it a much more pleasant job.
I'd like to come up to your place. I bet you
that's
know,
what
you
I was thinking. Wouldn't it be nice to go see her garden?
And you don't
or her farm.
Yeah, you don't grow as big a garden as you used to. You said I think earlier.
Correct.
In the year.
We used to have a commercial farm, and we don't anymore. We just grow for ourselves.
Okay, so it's quite a bit smaller than what it was, but you still have the fruit trees and, and the berries and those other things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That would be interesting just to come up and just look and see how you guys have planted that. Did you come up with a design yourself, or was it just pretty haphazard?
We came up with a design ourselves.
Okay.
I like growing. We have beds for some of our crops, and then we have field for the winter squash, the potatoes, and the corn, the bigger crops.
Now, do you guys plant a lot of flowers?
Not a lot, no. I like flowers. I really do, but it comes down to time. And the vegetables get first priority for us.
I gotcha. And do you do a lot of canning and freezing?
I do some. I much prefer to extend the season and harvest it fresh than to can it or freeze it. But of course, some things like tomatoes, that's just not going to work.
Right. But that's an interesting idea. I really like that. Well, folks, you need to stay tuned because when we come back, we're going to be talking about the crop of the month. And that is winter squash. So stay tuned.